I would like for you, please, to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew. One of the great, great things in spending time in the four Gospels, you really have the. It's I look at it anyway as it's really the great privilege of witnessing the walk, the example, and the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ was the ultimate example of what God intended for his relationship with man. And Jesus Christ, as the last Adam, as the Son of Man, fulfilled that and demonstrated God's heart in what he originally wanted with mankind. And in that relationship with God, and we'll see a couple neat things, I think, this morning. In that relationship with God, as the Son of God, as the one who demonstrated perfectly that relationship that God intended with mankind, Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of humility and of service. And that's what we're going to look at today. This is something that he taught consistently at different times in his ministry. So I wanted to begin here in Matthew chapter 20. And the heart of looking at this really is because it is the ultimate example of humility. And it's something that, you know, we, as belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ, is something that we pursue. It's something that we attain to manifest this kind of humility to the Father. And so in Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to pick it up in verse 17. In this record, Jesus Christ, he's on his way to Jerusalem. In verse 17, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Now, this is the third time recorded in Matthew where he tells them very plainly that he is going to be killed. And at no point did they really understand it, which is sort of understandable. And we'll see this as we go, because it's sort of it's part of the flavor of what we're looking at, in that, in reading these records, the thing to keep in mind is what they thought the Messiah would do. What they thought the Messiah would be. Okay? And the thought of the Messiah being killed, it was hard. They couldn't handle that one. And then here, he reveals something that he hadn't revealed previously. And this was absolutely unthinkable. Verse 19, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, what we're going to read really is so human. It's so human. You know, there were a couple other times in Matthew. We're going to look at another one too. But in Matthew 16:20, this was another time where he explained to them that he was going to die. And the context of that is, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. Boy, and Jesus Christ says to Peter, you know, the Father's revealed this to you. It's really something. But then shortly after, when Jesus Christ explained what was going to happen, Peter, you know, just in his zeal and love for Jesus Christ, said, no way. I'm not going to let that happen. And then Jesus Christ rebuked him, because that was not where he was headed. Everything pointed to his going to Jerusalem. Everything pointed to his sacrifice for all of mankind. That's where it was all headed. So here he says this incredible thing, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? What would you like? And she said unto him, grant that these two my sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. This is so revealing. It's so human. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Her view, and James and John's view, and really all of the disciples' view, of the kingdom was based on the world's idea of what a kingdom is. And what Jesus Christ was bringing was very, very different. And he's going to teach that here. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we're able. And he said unto them, you shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. They were, this word indignation, it is, they were really angry. Really angry. There's a record, we don't need to turn there, I'm just going to share it. You know what, let's do turn there, I think it'll bless us. Let's go to Mark chapter 9 real quick, because it does offer an example of what it is Jesus Christ is going to teach here. In Mark 9:33, in light of their being very angry with James and John, verse 33 says, and he came, well, he had just told them that he was going to die. It says in verse 32, but they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. They didn't understand what he had just shared with them about his crucifixion, and they didn't want to ask. Isn't that something? And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, now this was earlier, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? He had just told them he was going to be crucified, and they got in an argument. They were arguing amongst each other. but they held their peace. It's like, can you picture this? It's so beautiful. So, what were you guys arguing about? That's great. Oh, God bless them. So, they held their peace. Verse 35, and he sat down. And he called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receives me. And whosoever shall receive me receives not me, but him that sent me. Isn't that something? Using a child, turn back to Matthew, we're going to finish that up. But using a child, you know, a child in that culture, they were not looked at like we do in Western culture today. Today, you know, the children are everything. But in this culture, they weren't. As a matter of fact, they were nothing more than a burden. Really. Until they were old enough to contribute. They were a burden. They were dismissed. They were... And here Jesus Christ takes this child. And one thing about a child is really, even when they whack out, their desire really is to please. That's when they're most happy. That's when dad or mom says, that was awesome. They're like, and they'll want to do it again 100 times. You know, just that humility, that heart. And that's what Jesus Christ is teaching them. See? It's not about first in the world's eyes. And we'll read a little bit more about that in a minute. Rather, it's that humility, that heart of a child. And really, when it comes to accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him as Lord and Master in our walks, that's the kind of heart it takes. Because you've got to set aside your own thing. You know? And you just have that heart of a child. It's really beautiful. Back in Matthew, we'll pick it up in verse 25. So, they were angry. And you know, and the point here is it's kind of wild because that record we just read in Capernaum, where they were all arguing about who would be greatest, well, that was before this. That was sometime before this. This is after. So, what it looks like to these 10 very possibly is like James and John were kind of slipping in there. Because they were all arguing about who would be greatest, and James and John just kind of go in there. Hey, can I sit on your right hand, left? Forget these guys. They're angry. You know, it's just human. It's just so funny. But watch Jesus Christ. It's just so amazing. Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever shall be chief or first among you, let him be your servant. This is the exact opposite of the world. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I want you to turn to Matthew 23. There's a teaching that takes place in the temple. And he really teaches the same sort of principle of humility. Verse 1 says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. This was a seat of authority. Okay? They were chief. It was a seat of authority. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, observe and do. And do not ye after their works, for they say and what? Do not. You know, it's kind of interesting. And there's actually a neat little truth here. You know, when these, even these Pharisees, when they would speak God's word, when they would speak regarding the law, when they would speak regarding these things, was it the truth? Yeah, it was the truth. The man presenting truth does not determine whether truth is truth. Do you understand that? That's kind of important to realize. Because a lot of people have been taken out by people. And have been hurt. But truth is still truth. God's word is still God's word. Verse 4, and this is, we're going to see it. This is exactly how it works in the world. It may look a certain way, but this is how it works. They bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they will not move them with one of their fingers. Ever hear such a thing? But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called a man, Rabbi, Rabbi. Be ye not called Rabbi. Boy, he gets right to it. For one is your master, Christ. And all are your brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. And neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your what? Servant. And whatsoever, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be what? Exalted. It's beautiful. In the world, men exalt themselves. Men, the flesh, craves that recognition, that exaltation, really that worship. But Christ was a servant. He came to minister. If anybody had a right to demand respect, would it not have been Jesus Christ? If anybody had a right to determine or to be recognized, would it not have been the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet it was the exact opposite. And this is what Jesus Christ is instituting. This kingdom of God would look very, very, very different than the kingdoms of the world. And this is the way, what we're reading here, it's really a simple and very beautiful example of how it works in the world. Whether it's in the religious hierarchy at times, the political most certainly, all the different things. You know, this is how it works. But not so in the body of Christ. Not so in the church. Let's turn to John 13. Gospel of John. This is a familiar record, I think, to all of us. But I think it's worth looking at it every once in a while. Yeah. It really speaks to the heart of Jesus Christ and his heart of service and how he came to be ministered, how he came to minister and not to be ministered to. Okay. in John 13. And now this is, and we'll read it here, but this is getting very close. This is actually the night when he's going to be taken. Okay? Be taken to crucified. And in verse 1 it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Okay. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." And this word "end," and I think we'll see this play out, it can mean either to the end, meaning time, or meaning all the way to the nth degree, we might say. And I really believe in the context here, it's both. He loved them to the very end, and he loved them to the nth degree. And I think we're going to see that in a kind of a neat way here in a moment. "And supper being ended, the devil having now," or "already" is that word, "have already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Verse 3, "Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." Now, the reason why I'm sort of emphasizing this is there are things that are revealed here that Jesus knew. He knew that his hour was come, when he would be tortured more than any man, and that he would give himself over to be crucified, to be unjustly tried, and so on. And he knew that he was going to the Father. You understand? He knew that. Then in verse 3, it says, he knew that he came from God. So he knew who he was from, and he knew where he was going to wind up. So beginning in verse 4, we're going to read what he did in light of what he knew. "He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself," which really, a simple description of this would have been, this would have been the uniform of a lowly slave. "After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then came he to Simon Peter, and Simon said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." You know, this is, I love Peter. He just, he said this really out of love and respect for his Lord. He knew Jesus was the Christ. And to see Jesus Christ in this state, the Messiah, the Son of God, he didn't get it. You don't wash my feet? I get it. And he's going to speak up. That's Peter. So awesome. He was probably speaking up what everybody else thought. "Peter said unto him, Oh, you'll never wash my feet." See? You're the Christ. See, again, Jesus Christ is teaching him. This is different. Jesus answered him, "If I wash you not, you have no part with me." That's how critical this was to see and to get. "And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." It's so awesome. I love this record because you see in this verse how badly Peter wanted to be with his Lord. He couldn't stand the thought of being separated. Oh, okay, everything. Just wash me. It's so awesome. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. You know, this is pretty remarkable in light of his loving them to the end, because Judas was there. So he was going to wash the feet of the one who would betray him. Isn't that something? And every one of these men, or the rest of them, they would flee. They would desert. One of them would deny him. And yet Jesus Christ went through with this to teach them what it was he was bringing about. What an example, huh? So after he washed verse 11, for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. And that example was an example of service. It was an example of great humility. And Jesus Christ went into this knowing where he was going and who he was from. You and I know where we're going. You and I know where we're from. And the more we build that into our own hearts, the more we appreciate that in our own lives, it begins to change priorities. You know, from self to others, to the things of God, to the things that would please my Lord, my Master, Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're almost done. You know, Jesus Christ taught these things to his men several times in the Gospels. But you know what? He said to Peter, he said, hereafter you're going to understand. And you know what Peter did, didn't he? You know, Peter, in 1 Peter in chapter 5, it talks about clothing yourself with humility. Shepherding the flock and being among them. As serving the Master, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty awesome. John, you think he figured it out? You know, read 1 John sometime. Talks an awful lot in there about the love of God, doesn't it? It's pretty something. It's really something. But you see Jesus Christ teaching, even though they weren't getting it, continuing to teach. But eventually they did. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there therefore be any consolation or encouragement in Christ, of any comfort of love, of any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies or compassion and joy or pity, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife. Strife is about self, really is. Or vain glory, that is also about self. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, one of the great philosophers taught, know thyself. That's a lie. The Word of God teaches, know Jesus Christ. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind or this thinking be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That is only possible by way of the Spirit of God, by way of that Spirit of Christ it's referred to, and by the grace of God. Who? Jesus Christ. Now it's going to explain this thinking, this kind of thinking. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or that position to be exploited or used or lorded over others. Not robbery to be equal. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God or to lord it over people or to rob, which is exactly how it's done in the world. Where others serve you, the leader. Where others, you know, bow to you, the leaders. Where others serve your need, the leader. And that's not how it works in the body of Christ. That's not how it works among one another. See where forgiveness is a little important? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man or mankind, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the reason why that phrase is there is because it emphasizes the hideousness, the shame, and the humiliation of this particular type of death, where they would be hung naked on this cross, nailed to it, taunted, and so on. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You remember when he taught the 12? He who exalts himself will be abased. He who abases himself will be what? There's a living example right here. Because nobody abased themselves more than the Lord Jesus Christ to die on behalf of all mankind. And then it says God hath what?
Highly
exalted him. Highly exalted him. Those words translated highly exalted are only used of the Lord Jesus Christ. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, or is to bow, is how it should read, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess or is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, because of this, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own wholeness with reverence and obedience, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that is by way of that Spirit of God and the Word of God. He works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's by that, or by those means, that we can think the way Jesus Christ thought. See? By that Spirit of God and by that grace. I'm going to close in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're just going to read a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to look at, or begin in, verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And it should read simply, the first fruit, or the first fruits, or the first fruits offering of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits offering, they that are Christ's at his coming. Now you've got a little digression here, beginning in verse 24, like a parenthesis. Then comes the end. It's sort of a summarization. There are events that will take place after Christ coming for his church, but then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he, Jesus Christ, must reign till he, Jesus Christ, or God rather, he, God, hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Isn't that something? For he, God, hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident or manifest or clear that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Jesus Christ has been given all authority. He will conquer all enemies. You can go through Scripture and see how he will make right this earth. And all of this Jesus Christ will do. And then you read, and when all things, verse 28, shall be subdued unto him, unto Christ, then shall the Son of Man also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be what? Humble servant to the end. After manifesting all of this power and all of this glory, when it's all done, he will hand it to his Father. Isn't that something? See, always, always the obedient servant. There's no better example. And that's our Lord. It's pretty awesome, you know, and these are things that we can do and we can build in our lives. There's a verse in Peter that says, in chapter 3, I think it is, in 1 Peter, near the end, you know, it says to grow in knowledge and in grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's going to require that grace of God to carry out what we know from the Word, what we know of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Master. Isn't that something? See, one without the other, it's not so pretty. We grow in both knowledge and grace. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen.